you've never read the Bible for yourself, never taken the opportunity to do so. Give you that opportunity this afternoon. Take a copy of the New Testament in its entirety, offer to you free of charge without any cost or any obligation to you. Yours to take and do it as you will. It's the Word of God. And maybe, who knows, maybe the gift seekers, gift for someone else, most precious gift that one person can give to another in this world, the Word of God, which has the ability to make you wise unto salvation, which is to be found in Christ Jesus, whom I declare to you, and the one, of course, of whom the Bible in its entirety is about, the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures, called such because they come to you from a holy God, and a God, of course, who in His Word in the Bible has clearly defined Himself, defined you, and of course made known His righteous requirements of you. So you'd like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one, gladly put one into your hands. Bible, of course, has a lot to say within its pages as to what it is, and of course from whom it comes, and what it has the ability to do. Listen up, if you will. The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, that's the Bible, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, teaching that is, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's the Bible, friends. What do the Scriptures, what does the Bible make known of God? Answer to that question is, the Scriptures, the Bible, make known what God is, the persons of the Godhead, His decrees, His plans, that is, and the execution of those plans. Bible given to you to reveal to you the being of God, what He is. There is nowhere else where you can learn this, you know, what God is like. Perhaps maybe you've pondered the question in your own heart, your own mind, you know, some point in your life. If God is invisible, how can we know what He is like? We can know because He has revealed Himself to us, and He's revealed Himself to us in the Bible, and in the Bible alone. Bible, I come to you with an open Bible so that you will understand, get it, you know, that I'm bringing you not my own opinions, but what God says in His Word, what God has revealed in His Word, made known. And He has made known what He is in the Bible and nowhere else. In order to come to a right knowledge of God, right understanding of God, and what it is that He requires of you, and how it is that you can get into a right relationship with God, well, the Bible, the Word of God, and of course the Spirit of God Himself, is indispensable. You cannot come to a right knowledge of who and what God is without the Bible. You look at all the things that God has made, wonderful though they are, these, God says, leave you without any excuse for not knowing that God is. And of course, knowing His righteous requirements of you. But of course, that's not enough to bring you to a right knowledge in a loving relationship with God. having been justified, that is, made right with God by his Son Jesus Christ. So the Bible, you see, is indispensable. You look at creation, or you ought to do, and you wonder, and you think to yourself, somebody must have designed all this. Somebody must have put it all together. Somebody with wisdom and power and intelligence. Who is this person? And of course, that ought to make you to seek after God. And of course, to find him. For he tells us in his word in the Bible that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. And of course, well, you must do so in faith. But of course, the place that you must turn to, the only place you can turn to for a right knowledge of God, is his word, is the Bible, his creation. All his works cannot reveal himself to you in a loving relationship. Only the word of God can do that for you. And of course, the Bible makes known to you the persons of God, the Godhead. God reveals himself in the Bible as three persons, one God, but three persons. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God. You say, well, I can't get my mind around that. How can there be one God, but three persons? But whether you or I can understand the being of God, if you could, then you would be God yourself. None of us can understand the depths of God. But this is how he has revealed himself, and in faith, we accept it. The Father, you see, who planned this great salvation and gave us this great revelation of himself, sent his Son Jesus Christ into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But this is a condemnation, that God sent his Son into the world, but you have not believed in the name of the Son of God, and therefore you remain in condemnation, under the condemnation of God. But it is, you see, God sending his Son into the world, that through him that you might be saved. And of course, the knowledge of this, well, comes to you through the Word of God, through the Bible. But of course, you can turn to the Bible and you can read it and still not understand it. Many, many religious people the world over have Bibles, read the Bible, but yet have never spiritually understood it. You can understand it intellectually, perhaps, but not understand it spiritually. Come, that is, to a real vital knowledge of the true and living God and salvation through his name. The Bible also makes known, you see, the plans of God. The plan of God is salvation, for instance, before the foundation of the world, before God made the world. The Bible makes it clear to us, friends. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was a beginning, and there will be an end. Time when the Lord Jesus Christ will return to this earth with his holy angels, the Bible tells us, in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon all those who know not God and who obey not the gospel. Now is the time while you live and breathe and walk upon God's earth and breathe his air. Now is the time, that space of time given to you, in order that you might get right with God, get to know God, and get into a right relationship with God. But God, you see, formed all this, planned all this. The Bible tells us, way, way before he created the world, before he created the universe. You're not an accident, you know, an evolutionary accident. There is no justification, none whatsoever, for evolutionary thinking, an evolutionary process. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible tells us authoritatively. The Word of God, you see, which is self-attesting. Revelation from God, knowledge from God, without which none of us could do anything. Without which none of us can even have a meaningful thought. Only basis for any intelligibility whatsoever is what God has revealed to us. In Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Without Jesus Christ, you can have no knowledge at all. You need knowledge, you need information to do science, to do logic, to do philosophy, to do all of these things.
Hello.
Yeah.
What's this about?
What do you want?
What's it about?
Read the signs, sir. I'll tell you. Okay.
Excuse me.
I got no money, sir. Sorry, I got no money. Okay. I ain't got a cent. Okay? It's about Jesus, sir. Jesus. So, like I say, friends, you know, where does knowledge come from? You see, science, you know, but how can you do science without knowledge? Where do you get the knowledge to do the science from? You don't get knowledge, you don't get information, you don't get life out of matter, out of a material universe. Laws, the laws of nature, law of logic, law of mathematics, all these laws, the law of gravity, these laws come from an intelligent mind. You don't get them from matter. Ah, friends, God revealed knowledge to us, knowledge about the universe in which we live, that He created. God revealed knowledge to us about ourselves and about our world, and that's why we're able to do things like science, logic, philosophy, and so on. In the beginning, God created, and God has revealed His work of creation and His Word in the Bible. The Bible makes known to us what God is, His persons, His plans, His plan of salvation, to send His Son into the world, that through Him a certain number of people might be saved, those whom God has chosen from before the foundation of the world, given to His Son Jesus Christ. All those who are given to Jesus Christ will come to Him and will experience and know and enjoy the salvation of God and know the great pleasures at the right hand of God. The Bible makes known to us how God executes His plans and does so day by day. Everything, you know, that comes to pass, you could see, is the plan of God, because nothing happens without God's planning it, without God's permitting it. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground, Jesus tells us, without divine permission. Not a hair falls from your head or mine without divine permission. You see, it's all the plan of God. Everything that falls out in this world, even your being here today and hearing something of the gospel, something of the Word of God. God, you see, has made known through His Word, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, you see, the revelation from God. God, as it were, you know, pulling off the veil, not leaving us to stumble about in the darkness, wondering where we came from and where we're going. God has made things known, His own being, His persons, His plans, you know, His salvation, His Son, Jesus Christ, and through Him, that you might find your way back from the dark path of sin, and that you might find your way to God. Jesus says, I am that way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No other name, the Bible says, under heaven, but the name of Jesus Christ, by which a person, a body, can be saved. Only through Jesus. But of course, the revelation, you see, He has made known to you in the Bible. the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Savior of the world, the only mediator between God and man, not the Pope, not your local priest, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Confucius, but Jesus Christ, the only mediator, the man, Christ Jesus, the only mediator between God and man, the only one through whom you can come to God. You can come no other way. God has appointed the way, and God has made these things known to us, you see, in His Word. What do the Scriptures make known of God? Well, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son, that He is the mediator, the only way back to God from sin's dark path. Then, of course, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, that is, you know, this is the information, you see, that God has provided for you about Himself. You see, what is He like? Well, look, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at the person of Jesus Christ as revealed there. The mighty God walking the face of this earth, coming down, born of a woman, born of a virgin, walking amongst men, you know, a sinless, spotless Son of God, walking amongst filthy sinners, but not tainted with their sin. The perfect Lamb of God, spotless Lamb of God, as he's called in the Bible, Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You want to know what God's like? Well, look at Jesus Christ. There's the manifestation of God. God manifest in the flesh. You see the purity of God in Jesus Christ without sin. You see the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see His love for sinners in coming and living and loving and dying, rising again from the dead in order that sinners such as you might be saved. Revelation of God, you see, in Jesus Christ, God reveals Himself in no other and no other way, only through Jesus Christ. It's the only place you'll find God. Only place you'll come to know what God is like is the revelation of His character, His utter holiness, and the holiness that He requires of you. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, Jesus says. Maybe the reason why you can't see God, understand the being of God, is because of the impurity of your heart. You see, religion make you religious, but won't make your heart clean, won't bring the love of God into your soul, won't bring the light of God into your soul, won't bring the love of God into your soul. Only Jesus Christ, only the Son of God, only He can do that for you. Only my gospel, the good news, you see, the information that God has provided in the Bible, you know, sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, but yet without sin, and coming to condemn sin in the flesh, coming to die for sin, coming to die for the ungodly, coming to die for sinners and to rise again from the dead for sinners. It's information, you see, that God Himself, what do the Scriptures make known of God? Well, the Bible gives you the information about God, what He's like. And you see it in the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ. You see the power of God manifest. You see the miracles, you know, that Jesus performs. He opens the eyes of the blind, even His enemies, even those who had Him crucified, even they testified of Him. No man ever opened the eyes of the blind, but this man, Jesus, did. Finally, speaking away, you know, demonic powers, releasing, freeing men and women from them, giving eyesight to the blind, and healing diseases, raising the dead to life, Himself to life, from the grave, from the tomb. You see, friends, someone who can do these things, is God. God manifest in the flesh. God revealing himself, you see, through his Son Jesus Christ. All these signs and wonders performed, of which you read of in the Bible, they testify and they point to Jesus as being exactly who he claimed to be, the Son of God with power. Then, of course, his own resurrection from the dead, proving, demonstrating, evidencing that he was exactly who he claimed to be, the Son of God with power, by his resurrection from the dead. If Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead, and there's an abundance of evidence to prove the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friends, for 2,000 years, men and women, in their cleverness, have been trying to disprove the fact of the resurrection. No one has ever yet succeeded to, because it is historically proven and testified to in the Word of God. The Scriptures make known to you the death of the Son of God. Why he died? Christ died for the ungodly. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Christ, you see, a person, not a religion. A person, the Son of God. And what did he do? He died. He died not because he deserved to die. He was without sin. He died not because, not because he had committed any crime against the state. He died in the place of others. He died in the place of sinners. He gave himself up to the death of the cross. His life wasn't taken from him. He gave it up. He surrendered it. And he took it again in his resurrection. Jesus Christ was dying on the Roman cross 2,000 years ago because he was appointed to by God his Father. He was dying in the place of sinners. He was dying an atoning death, a death that would take away the sin of the world, that would make peace between you and God. Should you, that is, repent and believe the gospel, the good news concerning Jesus Christ, who did he do it for? Bible says he does it for the ungodly. You see, what does it mean to be ungodly? It means to be contrary to God in your nature, contrary to God in your practice. But of course, you're contrary to God in your practice because you're contrary to God in your nature. Conceived in sin, born in sin. All this information is provided for you, you see, in the Word of God, in the Bible. There for you, revelation from God given to you, you see, to reveal who God is, you know, to reveal what God is like himself, and of course to make known to you, you know, yourself, what you are, truly like. A sinner in the hands of an angry God, a sinner in rebellion against God, a sinner on the run from God, ungodly to a man, to a woman. For God's testimony is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, says God, none good, no, not one. You may claim to be a good person, but God says otherwise. There's none of us good, says God, not a single one. You see, you look in the mirror in the wall each and every morning and it tells you that you're the fairest of them all. But that's not the truth, because the mirror in the wall doesn't see into your heart. It only sees the outward image. But you see, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, they were given to make known to you what you're truly like in your nature. A sinner by nature and a sinner by practice. Born a sinner by nature. And that's why Jesus says, you must be born again. Why Jesus says your nature has to be changed. Has to be supernaturally changed. Gospel accomplishes, does you see what religion can't do? Well, you can become religious by yourself. You don't need my help. You don't need God's help. You don't need anybody's help. Just go to the mosque, the synagogue, the temple. You become religious yourself. And you can't change your nature by religion. You can't change your nature by keeping rules. Nature has to be changed, friends. You know? How can you, who are accustomed to doing evil, do good, says God? Can you change the spots on a leopard? No, you see, that would take a miracle. That's his natural state. On your natural state and your natural practice is to do evil, is to sin against God, to rebel against God. So how could you possibly do good? How could you possibly obey God? How could you possibly, out of a heart full of love, keep the commandments of God, agree with God? You're contrary to God. You can't. Contrary to God in your nature. An enmity in your heart against God. Hating God every day of your life. Friends, you're one of two things. You're either a natural born God hater or a supernaturally reborn God lover. No one ever loved God until they were born again. No one ever loved God. No one ever desired God. No one ever desired the Word of God. No one ever desired to obey God until they were born again. Except a man be born again, Jesus says, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Understand it, that is, perceive the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. God must work in your heart by the gospel. God must change your nature. Then your practice will change. Then you'll do good. Then you'll obey God. Then you'll seek to obey God. Then you'll seek after God, but not until you've been born again. You see, the Bible given to you to make known what you truly are like, your nature, a heart deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says God, unrighteous to a man, to a woman, sinners, each and every single one of us. But the Bible's given to you also to make known the plans, the works of God. All here in God's Word, how God in the beginning created. No, didn't evolve. Didn't evolve, friends. Created by God, by the Word of His power, He spoke it into being. His works in providence, guiding everything, every single creature in all the world, and making known His plan of redemption, the salvation that is to be found in His Son, Jesus Christ. Either a person might be redeemed, or a person might be bought back from sin, or a person might be set free from their slavery to sin. I guess most of you here in the city of Nottingham today, you would claim to be free people. You say, I'm nobody's slave, I'm a free man, a free woman. Some of you might live under the delusion that slavery came to an end some 200 years ago by the man Wilberforce. No, it didn't, friends. Slavery never ended. Every man, woman, and child born into this world is born in slavery. Slavery to sin. You can't do anything but obey your master. You have to obey your master. You can't do any other. If you're a free man, a free woman, then please tell me, why don't you walk away from all your social problems? Why don't you walk away from your sicknesses, your diseases? Why don't you walk away from your addictions? Why don't you walk away from all the misery and the pain and the guilt caused to you by sin? Why don't you walk away from it? Is it not because you can't? You struggle, you try sometimes, but you can't for the life of you, because you're not free, because you're a slave to sin and all its effects. And only Jesus, only the Son of God, only through my gospel can you be liberated. If the Son shall make you free, Jesus says, you shall be free indeed. But were you to read the Bible for yourself, well, you might notice that there's something absent, you know, from the Bible. You know, there are no arguments in the Bible concerning the existence of God, because you see, that's simply presupposed, you know. Any intelligent person would understand that, you know. God doesn't have to prove his existence, you know. It's apparent to you. You know, it's obvious to you. You know that God is. He's shown it unto you. He's made it manifest to you. And he says that you even clearly understand it. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a scientist at all to work it out, to know that God is. That's why there's no arguments in the Bible for the existence of God. That's just simply presupposed. You can see it in everything that God has made. All of these things you see. You see, creation itself is a revelation to you who are without Jesus Christ, is a revelation of the wrath of God. The wrath of God revealed, you know, against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You suppress the truth of the knowledge of God. You have that knowledge. You have it in you, indelibly stamped in your soul. You can't get rid of it. You fight and struggle. You try to, but you can't. You can't get God out of your mind, you know. You tell me you don't believe in him, you know. I don't believe in your Santa Claus, but I don't go about cursing people in the name of Santa Claus. You know, I don't get angry, I don't get bent out of shape when you start talking about Santa Claus. Why? Because I know he doesn't exist. To talk to you about God, you know, and you get bent out of shape, you get hostile, you get angry, you know, and you go about all day long, you know, cursing people, you know, with God's name, with the name of his Son. You can't stop yourselves from doing it, you know. You just can't get God out of your system. It's indelibly, the knowledge of God is indelibly stamped in your being. When a child is born, before it knows anything, it knows that God is. You know that he is. God just simply presupposes his existence in the Bible. There are no arguments in the Bible for the existence of God. And God presupposes man's knowledge of God in the Bible too. He supposes, you see, that you have that knowledge is given to you, and it's evident by everything all around you. Even when you look at yourself in the mirror, it's plain to you. You're not going to stand before God on that judgment day, you know, and raise your hands in awesome surprise. Oh, I didn't know you existed, God. If only I'd known. God will tell you, you did know. You did know, but you held down. You suppressed the truth of the knowledge of God in wickedness because you simply didn't want there to be a God. You simply didn't want to know God. Because you loved your sin. You loved the darkness and would not come to the light. You would not believe in his only begotten Son, who would have saved you and brought you into a right and proper and loving relationship with the true and living God. But you see, even religious people don't escape this condemnation because they know that the true and living God, they worship a false God, they're involved in idolatry, all the religions of the world, Mecca's variety, Rome's variety, and everything else in between, idolatrous religion. But friends, that doesn't get you off the hook. Because you see, these religious idolaters, although they're involved, although they're engaged in their idolatry, yet still they know, just the same as you, who call yourself atheists. You, all of you, to a man, to a woman, you know that God is the true and living God. But you'll do all kinds of things. You'll even become religious before you'll bow the knee, before you'll submit yourself to the true and living God. But that won't make you acceptable to God. Only one person can do that, and that's the Son of God. who died for sinners, who died for the ungodly, who died, who took the place of the sinner, in order that through repentance and faith towards the Son of God, that you might be made right with God, righteous that is. So you see, you won't find any arguments in the Bible for the existence of God. They're totally unnecessary. The existence of God is apparent to you. But of course, you need the knowledge, you need the Word of God, you need the revelation of God to come to a right relationship with God. See, the Bible presupposes that without God you couldn't know anything at all. If God had not revealed Himself, if God had not revealed knowledge to us about the universe we live in, the world we live in, we'd all be stumbling about in the darkness, not knowing anything at all, because you don't get knowledge out of matter. God could have created a world, a universe, material universe, but you wouldn't have got any knowledge out of that. You can't get knowledge, you can't get information out of matter, out of material. That comes from an intelligent mind. And God is the intelligent mind who has revealed knowledge to us. But that's just simply presupposed in the Bible. No arguments in God's Word for the existence of God. That's just simply presupposed. Presupposes too that without God you couldn't do anything. You couldn't do all the wonderful things that mankind is able to do. You know, the good science, I mean, the proper science. I don't mean this evolutionary nonsense. This excuse for this, you know, that you use to suppress the truth of the knowledge of God. I'm talking about proper science. I'm talking about good science. Not that it's used to destroy humankind, but to help humankind. All the technology, the phones that you have in your pockets, television sets and computers that you have in your homes, able to do all these wonderful things, invent these gadgets. Why? Because God has revealed knowledge to you. Without God, you have no basis for intelligibility. Without God, you have no basis even for one single meaningful thought. How is that possible, friend? Here you are, just a piece of chemical fizz, according to your belief system. Huh? According to what you say you believe. This is what you say you believe, isn't it? Evolution, secularism, atheism, call it what you will. But friends, you have no basis. No basis, none whatsoever. Not even for a meaningful thought. If all you are is just a piece of chemical fizz that broke off the rest of the universe. No intelligence, no reason, no rationality, none whatsoever. No basis for morality. No basis for ethics. Oh, you say you don't believe that God is. But you've got your ethical standards. You see, it's wrong for a man to kill another man. You see, it's wrong for a man to rape a woman. Why? I mean, if you believe in evolution, why? That's a serious question. Tell me why. On what basis? On what basis do you hold to that morality? If you truly believe in evolution, is that not just the survival of the fittest? Isn't that what you say you believe? But of course you don't really, because there's no one so inconsistent as the person who calls themselves a so-called atheist. It's totally contrary. You're no basis for ethics. You're no basis. You're no justification for having policemen. No basis for having courts, no basis for having prisons. It's just survival of the fittest. It's just dog eat dog if there's no God, isn't it? But of course you don't believe that. because you don't believe evolution, because you know in your heart of hearts you know that God is. But here's the thing, friends, you know, you can't find God for the same reason that a thief can't find a policeman. He doesn't want there to be a God. But I've got bad news for you if you're a thief this afternoon. There are policemen. And I've got good news for you if you call yourself an atheist. There is a God, and He is good, and He is kind, He's compassionate, He's merciful. To those that is who turn and seek after Him, to those who repent and believe the gospel, to those who undergo a change of mind about God, to those who come to the Word of God where He makes known all this and more to you, that your mind might be aligned with God's thoughts, good thoughts, righteous thoughts, and that your practice then might change also. You see, the one evidence that a person's truly, really repented, really changed their mind is, well, their practice changes too. But God sent His Son into the world, you see, that you might have the grace to do that, because you can't do it on your own. Without Me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. But Jesus came to enable you to do it. He came to bring grace and truth, the truth of His Word, to make known to us the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And our dear friends, in order that by the grace of God you might be transformed. Punishment doesn't change, doesn't transform people for the better. It just makes them worse. You can put them in prison, but they come out worse. Isn't that the case 99% of the time? But friends, grace changes people. Grace transforms people. Grace makes people better. Grace teaches people to forsake the ungodliness and the worldly passions, the sin, you know, that takes the life out of you, destroys you, and one day will destroy your soul in hell. All this is made known, you see, in the Scriptures, in the Bible. The Bible, you know, reveals the character too of those people who call themselves atheists. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God's description, not mine. Not that, you know, that you don't know anything. Not that you're altogether stupid, but perverse, you know. Denying that which is obvious, you know, that God is. I mean, isn't that perverse? Isn't that even daft, stupid, friend, you know? Perversely denying the author and the sustainer of your life, the one who gives you life and breath, the one who holds your very next breath in the palm of His hand, the one who sustains your life day by day, who puts bread upon your tables. You know, friends, isn't that perverse? Isn't that perverse in the extreme, you know? That's why God says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Unbelief, friends, it's not an intellectual matter. It's not that you don't understand it. You know, it's not that you can't work it out. It's not that you don't grasp it. Of course you do. Of course you do. It's a hostile act of prejudice against God personally. That's what your unbelief is. And God calls you, God commands you to repent of it. That is to change your mind about God, His existence. Change your mind about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world to save sinners. Change your mind about your own sin and your personal involvement in it, your birth in sin, your practice in sin. This is why the Bible is given to you. Why the Holy Scriptures were given to you, to make these things more known to you. To make known God's righteous requirements of you. A reasonable, a rational repentance. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for He will abundantly, He will show mercy and abundantly pardon. Oh, he's merciful. He's not always nice, but he's good. He's merciful, he's kind, he's compassionate towards those who repent, forsake their way and their unrighteous thinking. A reasonable, a rational repentance and a seeking after God while he may be found, because he won't always be to be found by you. Day is coming when you'll breathe your last. Day is coming when you'll go out of this world in the same way that you came in, feet first and naked without anything. All the things that you treasure, you know, in the world today, you're not taking them with you. You leave them behind, your houses, and all that you fill them with, your clothes, all the trinkets and baubles that you chase after and even idolize, sporting activities and your sporting heroes, they'll still be gone after you've gone. But when you're gone, when you leave this world, when you breathe your last, you will meet God. You will meet the God whom you knew existed. You will stand before him, and he will hurry you, I tell you, into the damnation of hell if you do not repent and believe the gospel. So friends, be annoyed. But friends, be saved. Get right with God. There's nothing more important. It's more important than shopping. It's more important than your sporting activities. It's more important than all you're getting, you're buying and selling for Christmas. A Christless Christmas. What's the point in that, I ask you? What fruit is there in that?
Good for you. Bless you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
We're told that if we don't kill them, we're telling them they don't deserve to go to heaven anyway.
That's right. That's right, sir.
Bless you.
And you. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. What's the fruit in that? Buying and selling, just sending cards, building trees, all the tinsel and bauble to celebrate a Christless Christmas. You do it all in the name of Jesus Christ, who you don't even believe in. What's the fruit in that? This is more important than all your shopping, all your buying and selling. Bring the shutters down, shut them all down, and get on your knees before Almighty God and cry out to him for mercy while you still have the breath of life in you. While you still have the ability to do so, while you still have the presence of mind to do so, before the dementia gets a grip of you, and you can't think anymore, reason anymore, rationalize anymore. Come now, saith the Lord, and let us reason together, rationalize together, think these things through together, says God. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. How can this be? Me, you see, an unbeliever, me, a blasphemer, me, a breaker of all the commandments of God, me who have called myself an atheist, me who am utterly and absolutely godless. How could this possibly be? Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save such as you. For Christ Jesus came into the world to live, love, and die, and rise again from the dead, in order that such as you might be saved. That you might not be godless, but godly. But you must needs, of course, for that to happen, you must needs repent and believe the gospel. First words of the Lord Jesus Christ recorded in the New Testament of the Bible. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand, and you can enter the kingdom of God without repentance and faith towards the Son of God. So I call upon you. I command you this afternoon. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You would like to have a copy of God's word? Take home with you. Read and see that these things are so for yourself, offered to you free of charge, without any cost or any obligation.